Where are some of the world's most beautiful wine destinations? We'll tell you what they are and how you can enjoy them.
Washington State is famous for more than apples. We'll meet one of its most famous winemakers.
And we'll have an unbeatable summer salad recipe. You may be surprised by the wine we pair with it. And all of that's coming your way next.
I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's The Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
The basic trouble with you is that you're on it.
And Michael Ambrose.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And you're listening to the show that's devoted entirely to the grape in all its glory, the juice in the glass, the conversation starter, the best that Mother Nature has to give us. And we have a magnum of fun wine information to share with you to make your day. Get it? Magnum? Make your day?
Oh, goodness.
Well, that's for all our Clint Eastwood fans, if not for my co-host. We're here to demystify wine. We're here to tell you everything you didn't want to know about the grape. We are here to educate you so you're never intimidated by a beverage again. Our philosophy, basically, is wine is fun. And as long as wine is fun, you ought to be having fun right along with it.
Right.
Since we are in the height of the summer tourist season, today's theme is our favorite wine destinations that won't break the bank. These are places that combine scenic beauty, wonderful wines to produce, and unforgettable moments. Also on today's show, Richard Hake has a beet recipe that's easy to make and perfect for the summertime. Bob Bertal, the winemaker from Chateau St. Michel, will tell you all about his great wines. And of course, we will answer your calls and emails to the best of our ability, which some days isn't very good, but today is bound to be a four-star day.
There you go.
Michael, what are you drinking these days?
Laura, last night I had a really interesting wine. It's called Tormaresca. It's a Chardonnay from southern Italy. Great acidity, nice, bright, lemony orange peel. It's got good body, excellent pear and mineral flavors, and the good news is it cost about $10.
Well, Tormaresca is a great value no matter how you look at it. Antinori's been making wine since 900 AD, and I think they have it down to a science.
They really do.
I've kind of been with you on that side of the pond. I've been drinking a lot of Pinot Grigios lately.
Really? And what recently has been wetting your whistle?
Santa Margherita.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
sure.
More so than anything. If I could find an expensive bottle of wine, it's definitely going to be that.
I was going to say, that's pretty much up on the price scale.
Yes, that is the most expensive Pinot Grigio out there. But my parents were in town this weekend, and I figured it was a great way. Let Mom have her glass. I'll have the rest of the bottle.
There you
go.
And
I feel like I've done something good for my parents. So I figure that works out well. But for those of you who want to follow in my footsteps, Santa Margherita, you can pretty much find anywhere wine is sold.
That's right.
Any restaurant. Any Mega Mart, any probably box store has Santa Margherita, and it's definitely worth the splurge for a good dinner wine.
Yeah, and that's about $30, right?
Roughly.
If it's in a grocery store.
It will sell down occasionally to around $24, $25,
mm-hmm.
And like all good cost-conscious people, that's when I usually get it myself. Well, where you drink your wine often affects how good it tastes, and this leads us to our theme for today. Michael and my favorite wine destinations. These are the places for us where the wine just tastes better and the scenery's usually not too bad either.
Absolutely. One of my very favorite places, the place that stands out in my mind, is kind of a location that not too many people have heard of. It's called Sirmione.
Sirmione?
Mm-hmm.
Sear one side, sear the other?
That's it. But make sure that it's rare. Laura, it's at the base of the Italian Alps. It's like if you were driving through Italy from north to south, going towards, say, for example, Tuscany, it's about halfway. It's a glacial lake with a 14th century castle on it. On one side, you have this sheer rock cliff of the Italian Alps. You've got this beautiful blue azure lake, and then you're right next to the town of Verona, which is kind of on the coast. Incredibly interesting people we met there, and the food and the wines were wonderful.
Well, it definitely sounds like a place we ought to check out. That's one spot in Italy I have not been.
Yeah.
But when I'm thinking of great wine destinations,
at least right now with the cost of gas, I'm thinking a little bit closer to home.
Yeah.
One of my top 10 is Domaine Carneris Winery. And really brief, basically, for those of you who are flying out to California from the East Coast, you understand the heartache it takes to get out to San Francisco and to get into wine country.
Right.
So by the time you have taken your six-hour flight, by the time they've lost your bags, by the time you found the rental car area, you have stood in line for an hour and a half and then sat on the bridge for about another 45 minutes, your patience is shot.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of Domaine Carneris is it's right there in the heart of Carneris.
It's almost the first place you come
to. It is. It's this beautiful chateau, whether you're going to Napa, whether you're going to Sonoma. Go right, go to Napa, go left, go to Sonoma, go right in the middle and have a glass of champagne.
Right.
They've got a gorgeous, gorgeous facility. It's a great chateau with wraparound porches all the way through. You go out, you sit on the porch, you get a breeze off Winery Lake, and you have a glass of Domaine Carneris Rosé Champagne. And it just washes all the plain funk, all the awful headaches, all the aggravation away.
And, you know, if you arrive at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you can actually see the fog sort of roll in into the valley. It's really cool.
So we will continue this discussion through the show, telling you our favorite wine places and giving you ideas of why and where you should go.
And this is the part of the show where you get to play along.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
One of our lovely listeners has done just that and has decided to give us a call today.
Great.
Mary, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you.
What can we help you with today, Mary?
Well, I'm hosting a Red Hat party at my house, and most of them are wine drinkers.
Oh, I bet. My wife has been to a few of those Red Hat parties.
Mary, do all of our listeners a favor. Tell everybody across the states what a Red Hat party is, because everyone needs to experience that just once.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a society for older women, and we wear red hats and purple clothing. And the whole idea of this society is that we have fun.
Absolutely. Good socialization and always accompanied by some good juice.
That's right.
Mary, I have several relatives that belong to the Red Hat Society, and I will say this. Number one, I hope the society is still around when I am up to the point where I can participate. But number two, I want to say some of the best times I have had in the last 2 years was when I was included in those Red Hat Society parties to do a quote-unquote wine tasting. I have never laughed so hard as I do with y'all. So salute to the Red Hat Society and salute to all you ladies. You make the rest of us look like wallflowers.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, but the short answer to your question, if you're hosting a Red Hat Society wine tasting, I'm thinking volume.
A lot of wine.
That's the easiest way to get through
That's right. Just a lot.
But in all sincerity, what I would look for is definitely do white wine. Because my guess is you're doing this in early to late afternoon. And I do some Rieslings, I do some Pinot Grigios, and I do some Chardonnays. And what would be fun about that, say, depending on how many people you had, do 2 bottles of Riesling, 2 bottles of Pinot Grigio, 2 bottles of Chardonnay. And that way, everyone could sit and talk about what they liked. And God knows, I know you ladies can talk.
Well, wait a second, Laura. Laura, I'm surprised you wouldn't want to initiate the afternoon with champagne.
Usually, having encountered the Red Hat parties, they're celebrating all the time. I think it's easier just to teach them with still and let them wrap it up with champagne.
All right.
That's true. So could you suggest some under $10 wines for me?
Mary, I can. When you're looking at, if you were to take my recommendation and do Riesling, I would do Chateau St. Michel Riesling.
And I would do Dinehard.
And if you were going to do Pinot Grigio, I would recommend Cavit, C-A-V-I-T. It's inexpensive, but it's really easy to drink.
Yep.
Okay.
And as far as Chardonnay, just for something fun this time of year, I'd go down to Santa Barbara and get a bottle of Meridian, M-E-R-I-D-A-N Chardonnay.
Meridian Chardonnay.
It has a lot of bananas. It has a lot of tropical fruit.
Yep.
It has some pineapple to it. It's just one of those wines that would substitute for a fruit salad.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Now, and I would ask you to get another style of Chardonnay. It's called Macon Village, M-A-C-O-N-V-I-L-L-A-G-E-S. It's an inexpensive wine out of France, and it's the antithesis of Meridian. I think it's at the other end where it's a little tart, and it's a little lemony, and a little bit higher in acid.
It's kind of like your organization. There's a couple that are tart and lemony, but most of them are just fruity and fun and full-bodied. How about that?
That's great.
That's really good.
Mary,
well, thank you very much. I appreciate all your help.
Oh, no, thank you for calling in. And once again, I raise a glass to you and the ladies with the Red Hat Society. Keep on drinking, keep on laughing, and above all, y'all just enjoy each other.
Mary,
oh,
this has really been fun.
Have a great afternoon and good luck with your tasting.
Thank you.
And now that we have recovered from our phone call and wishing Mary good luck with the Red Hat ladies, I hope she has enough wine. We here at the Wine Crush need to take a break ourselves. When we come back, we are going to be speaking with Richard Hake. He, of course, is the chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery, and he has our unbeatable summer salad recipes coming up.
Yes, America's favorite program will be back. You'll get more laughs, more fun, more thrill.
This is the Wine Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
All right, see the open man. Go pass.
Listen carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back.
What do you hear?
Good deed.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay, okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat it?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
Now move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And so far on the show, we have been talking about wine destinations.
Yep.
Where to go with your wine, or in the case of winers, where to send them. But no, as a whole, Michael and I are discussing where we like to go to visit wine country and to drink wine per se.
Absolutely. And Laura, I went first the last time, so you tell me, what's another great place that you really like as far as wine destinations?
Well, I do things off the beaten track. I'm very fortunate with my background. I have been to most wine-producing regions. So that means I've developed an appreciation where I don't have to go far and I don't get my luggage lost.
Right.
Okay. Hands down, one of my favorite wine festivals is the New Orleans Wine and Food Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And it's usually held toward the end of May. Just all the restaurants that are in New Orleans participate, whether it's from the Emerald side all the way down to Mother's. You name the kind of food, you can have it. But what's consistent is we get a lot of questions here on the show about what pairs with spicy food,
right,
what pairs with Cajun, what pairs with peppers. It is amazing to do this whole festival and taste all the different wines that they are pairing with what is probably the spiciest food in our country. And they've got jazz playing through the whole thing. They've got great dinners. They do a brunch at the Court of Two Sisters.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my God. It's heaven. You can drink and eat and be merry, and you just blend in with everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would definitely recommend people who have spare time towards the end of May, go to NOLA, www.nola, New Orleans, LA, and look for the New Orleans Food and Wine Festival. I think it's coming up Memorial Day weekend of 2009, and it's definitely not an event to miss.
Yeah, that's really cool. You know, Laura, if you'll remember several months ago, I was out in California, and I had the opportunity to go to the destination that I want to recommend, and that's Santa Barbara County.
Amen.
Yeah, it's so cool because it's not packed full of tourists. It's a small area, and it's just like an hour and a half north of Los Angeles. Some of the cool things there's a town called Solvang, and it's really a Danish town that everything in that town looks like it came from Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they talk like this. Yeah. Also, if you've ever heard of the Hitching Post, and some people may have heard of it, it's actually a decent restaurant, and you're surrounded by outstanding Pinot Noir and some really good Chardonnay. Some of the places that I was able to go to were Byron and Ganey and Fiddlehead, just really great Pinot Noir. There was also an interesting place called Palmino. There's a section of one of the towns in that little area called the ghetto, the wine ghetto, and it basically looks like an industrial park where you go to each one of these buildings, and in each building there's a winery set up, and that's where they actually produce their wines. It's really a cool place to go.
That does sound really good. Just out of curiosity, the Hitching Post, it's not where you go and you have to get married with a shotgun behind you?
It's not.
Okay, just checking. All right, moving on, we have a cute, fun wine news item this time. And this is for all of you who are suffering, whether you're in Arizona or in the Southeast with this drought. Reused wine barrels. New Jersey-based TerraCycle announced it has refurbished Kendall Jackson wine oak barrels into rotary, composter, and rain barrel water storage containers.
Okay.
All right. The containers are made from French or American oak and will be used to turn grass clippings and leaves and yard waste into mulch, or by using the wine barrels to catch the water from the gutter runoffs.
I see. Well, so you can compost or you can have a rain barrel. You know what? I think I'd like to just fill it back up with wine, personally.
Well, I guess I'm wondering if you use it as a rain barrel, if you let it sit there long enough, will eventually some of the wine steep back out and you can have turned wine into water or water into wine?
That's true. Of course, rain keeps falling on my head.
Oh, God, help us all. Well, I have had enough of Michael, which means that we need to invite Richard Hake to join us before I strangle my co-host. Richard is the chef for the Robert Mondavi Winery. That means he probably knows a little bit about food and a whole lot about wine by now. This week, I see that you're going to beat us over the head with a summer salad recipe.
Boy.
Yeah, we're doing a roasted beet salad with a orange vinaigrette and goat cheese. And true California salad, because we like to use everything local, seasonal, and fresh. And I've got beets growing in my garden year-round, and we like to do this salad as a starter here at the winery. And it's really simple and enjoyable, and it's something that folks can do at home. And one of the interesting things is roasting the beets. And by roasting the beets, I take the tops off the beets, rinse them, put them in foil, and wrap them, and I bake them in the oven until you can pierce them with a knife. And they're delicious. They don't bleed out a lot of color when you would boil beets. And for those that don't like beets, this is the way to prepare beets, where some people really come in and tell us that they love the beets prepared this way, and convert these people that don't like beets to beet salad lovers.
Well, Richard, that sounds like fun if you're into feta. But what if you don't like feta or goat cheese? Will something else work just as well?
Absolutely. I like to use Parmesan cheese. It's a great substitute. Everyone has Parmesan usually in the refrigerator if they enjoy it on top of their pasta or pizza. And it has a very similar salty profile like the goat cheese, which works well with the wine pairing I'm going to recommend. But if not, you want to be a little more daring, go with blue cheese.
And you, our new and loyal listeners, can find this recipe for roasted beet salad with orange vinaigrette by going to our website. That's winecrush.com. Michael, what wine would you match with this?
Laura, I think I would put a Pinot Grigio or Pinot Gris, something light, a little flinty, to kind of go with that, the sourness of the goat cheese.
Richard, what wine would you select?
Well, I love pairing beet salad with goat cheese with Sauvignon Blanc. And as I stated earlier, we make this a lot at the winery, and we'll pair it with the Robert Mondavi Fumé Blanc. Any Sauvignon Blanc works well because the tartness of the wine works with the vinaigrette.
Well, that makes sense. Well, in all fairness to you, Richard, I think what I'd pair with it would be one of my favorite wines. It would be some kind of big, oaky California Chardonnay. That way I could drink the whole bottle and not worry about the beets, because I hate beets with a passion. I'm sure it's wonderful, but I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole. So, ergo, I would pair my favorite Chardonnay, because I'd be drinking and not eating through this.
Well, thank you so much, Laura, for that. Hey, Richard, thanks as always. And what will you be dazzling us with next week?
One of my southern favorites, and a recipe I've made for years, a family recipe, it's going to be crab cakes.
Oh, good.
All right, I'm excited then. We have family southern crab cakes coming up. Now I'll get hungry for that. Again, check out Richard's recipes on our website, winecrush.com. We'll see you soon, Richard.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Laura. We'll see you next week.
Great.
Coming up next, we'll head off to the Great Northwest to visit one of Washington's greatest wineries. Can you guess who it is? More on that when we return.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
So, you know, we won the Cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys, we're really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had
What's this we? We won in 06, we won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college.
Wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done. I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. knowhowtogo.org. Let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Salagadoola, metchagaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Evening, ma'am. And buy you a drink.
I don't think so.
You don't know what you're missing.
You sure you want to go without me? It's like your top of the line A-game material.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we've been having a lot of fun in the studio today. We spoke with Richard Hake, who gave us some summer salad recipes to continue our salute to summer salads. The rest of you try saying that quickly several times, and you'll admire what a professional I am.
We've also been talking about some great wine destinations.
We have been, and that's been part of the fun of this show, is Michael and me telling you where you ought to go when you have time and a break.
Yep.
But for those of you who truly missed the first part of the show and are genuinely interested in hearing about it, you can visit our website at winecrush.com. This show and other brilliant previous Wine Crush shows can be heard along with lots of fun information, as well as this week's awesome recipe. Michael, you and I have based this show on having fun with wine, but I think this is most interesting quick wine fact I have seen in a while. Wine sales in the United States grew 4% in 2007, making the United States the largest retail value wine market in the world.
Yeah, and that's the first time, right?
Yeah, so we're finally first. We're number one. We're number one. Finally. We're not in consumption. We're not in dollars. We're not in production. But man, we can spend money.
There you go.
Way to go, America. Absolutely. No economy problems here.
Let's raise a glass and talk to that.
All right. Well, we've been talking about some of our favorite wine destinations on the show, but it doesn't get much prettier than the great state of Washington.
Right.
And joining us on the wine line is Bob Bertow. He's the winemaker for Chateau St. Michel, the first winery in the great state of Washington, and they're making some of the most fantastic wines that you ever want to try. Bob, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you very much. Very nice to be with you guys today.
Thanks, Bob. Nice to have you here.
Bob, we have been advocating Washington State wines. I am very passionate both about Chateau St. Michel and Columbia Crest, and I think unconditionally Chateau St. Michel has some of the best value wines out there. Most people think about, when they think Washington State, they think Seattle, they think all the rain clouds. Will you please dispel that myth for everyone?
Yes, I need to dispel that myth almost everywhere east of our own state.
Yes.
People hear Washington, the stereotypes are obviously rain, drizzle, Microsoft, Starbucks, you know, Boeing, and even, you know, even Costco now, all these home offices that are here. But all of those things, including the rain clouds, are all on the west side of the Cascade Mountains. So I'm actually here talking to you right now from the eastern Washington, and it is gorgeous and 85 degrees with not a cloud in the sky over here today. So
fantastic.
Once you head over the Cascades, they kind of act like a shower curtain, I call them. It keeps the weather patterns on the west side of the state, and over here, it's beautiful, sunny, and more of a high desert climate, and really perfect for growing grapes.
I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are speaking with Bob Bertel. He is the winemaker for Chateau St. Michel.
You have an unusual situation there where you've actually got two wineries, is that right? Or two different places where you make wine?
That's true. I make the white wines in Woodinville, which is kind of the home base of the brand. It's at the Chateau, which is just about 25 minutes outside of Seattle. So that is on the west side. And I make the red wines where I am right now, actually, at the Canoe Ridge Estate. And I'm here about a four-hour drive away over the mountains where most of the fruit is. And I'm right here on the Columbia River, which is on the border of Oregon and Washington. And so this is where I make the red wines. I kind of call it, I have a bicascadal existence.
That's great. You're making great wines, and Laura and I both agree to that. And apparently so do a lot of other people, including the Wine Enthusiast and Restaurant Wine Magazine. What do you think makes your wine so different that they're standing out the way they are?
Well, I think, you know, one of your comments was value, although I do think we excel at all price points. I honestly think we over-deliver for the quality at almost every price point, whether you're buying a Riesling for $8.99 or whether you're buying a $40 bottle of my Ethos Cabernet, we still think they over-deliver at all these price points. And it really is about the land. It's about the fruit. Land up here is quite a bit less expensive than if you go down to the north coast of California, say Sonoma and Napa. So we are able to keep our cost of goods actually somewhat down to deliver this amazing quality at a slightly lesser price. So it's a combination of the vineyards, of the winemaking, and then of just the land itself and the growers.
St. Michel, obviously, y'all range the gamut. Explain to our listeners everything that St. Michel does. Obviously, people can go in the grocery store in their mega marts and see St. Michel Chard Cab Merlot. Explain all the single vineyards.
Starting with the Columbia Valley, that is our base tier. Those are our biggest blends. The concept for Columbia Valley is soft and approachable, and I want another glass. Okay, that's kind of the concept when we're making the blends. And we do, as you say, make Chard, Cab Merlot, Riesling, and that tier. And that's the ones you're normally going to find, you know, at your friendly neighborhood store. The tier right above that is called Indian Wells, and actually it's also available fairly well in grocery stores as well. And that's the next level up, kind of that $15 to $20 bottle. And that's a focus on a specific area of Washington called the Waluk Slope, which is what we call an AVA, or American Viticultural Area, a specific area that grows a style of fruit. And that's our warmer, softer, you know, bigger, jammier style of wines. And there's a little bit more extract, a little bit more flavor at that Indian Wells tier. Right above that then becomes our single vineyard. We mainly get single vineyard fruit that we own, that we have total control of, from three different vineyards here in Washington: Coal Creek, which is our oldest vineyard and one of the oldest in the entire state of Washington; Canoe Ridge Vineyard, which is right here where actually I'm sitting, where I make the red wine, an estate that's about 15 years old; and then our Horse Heaven Vineyard, which is right down the river, which is where we get a lot of our Sauvignon Blanc. So, and then at the very top end, we have a tier called Ethos, and the Ethos tier is what I kind of call the best of the vintage. It truly is what used to be called a reserve wine, but now new concept, new styles, more of an old world philosophy of winemaking. The Ethos wines are the very, very best of the vintage, and those can come from any vineyard. And we do a little bit more cross varietal blending with that wine as well. So that kind of gives you a rough idea of the tiers. And again, over-delivering hopefully at every price point and all the varieties that we make. So it's a fairly complicated array. Matter of fact, we just started tasting our 07s. We're starting our blending this early for next year's bottling. That's how far in front we have to get to get all the blends decided before bottling season next year.
Well, that and definitely meet demand. Hey, Bob, we're going to have to take a small break here at The Crush. Would you mind hanging out with us for a bit?
No problem.
As we head to break, here's this week's wine teaser. Who said, a meal without wine is like a day without sunshine? That seems to be an appropriate question given how many cloudy days Washington State, or at least Seattle, has in the winter. The answer to this question when we return.
Hi-yah!
Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on Weege with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 MPG highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 MPG highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
I'm on a test track riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the hosts of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
This is The Wine Crush, your wine empowerment show. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And when we went to break, we asked you who said, a meal without wine is like a day without sunshine. Now, Michael, I know that the days without you just are so dark and stormy to me that maybe you might have the answer to this question.
I do. It's a guy whose name was Anthelmy Briot Savarin. You may be asking, who in the world is that? Well, he was a French lawyer who became famous as an epicure and a gastronome. Do you know what an epicure and a gastronome is?
They're snobby. It is. It's a snobby way of saying someone who is a glutton, who eats too much food and drinks too much wine. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he wrote a book called The Psychology of Taste.
All right. Well, I crack research staff of a turkey vultures, two hamsters,
and
whatever.
A gerbil.
Yes, yeah. Whatever other rodent is running around.
Right.
Discovered Savarin also said, those persons who suffer from indigestion or who become drunk are utterly ignorant of the true principles of eating and drinking.
Hear, hear.
Before the break, we were having a wonderful chat with Bob Bertal. He is the winemaker for Chateau St. Michel, a superb winery in Washington State that is noted for, among other things, its Rieslings. Bob, welcome back to The Crush.
I am still here.
Bob, I was reading on the website that y'all just did an amazing event called the Riesling Rendezvous, and it involved 70 different winemakers from around the world. Tell me all about it, and tell me if there's any leftovers.
Yes, well, it's the second year we've done it, and this year we went from 40 winemakers to 70, and we're representing over 15 different countries now. We had everybody at the chateau here in Woodinville, right outside Seattle. They all gathered, and for 3 days straight, all we did was taste Riesling, talk about Riesling, have it with food. Although, you know, there are a lot of Germans there. We did drink a little beer in the middle, but it was just say mostly Riesling, okay? And it was phenomenal. The response to the event, to the organization, to the seminars, and to our kind of our pet variety, our Riesling that we do here in Washington, we were ecstatic to have the world at our doorstep again.
Well, it's certainly a great pet to have. Bob, you have your hands full, obviously. You have two different winemaking operations. You make five different reserve wines. How do you stay on top of things? What is the hardest part about making a quality wine out of all this?
I would say the hardest part is keeping mainly my hands as much in the vineyard as I need to be. As everybody knows, vineyards are where great wines are made. And so I love tasting and being with the teams and obviously at my position managing people as well. But to get out in the vineyards, that's probably the hardest part. During harvest, it's the thing I focus on the most, is making sure that I talk with the growers, walk the blocks, taste the fruit, and then make the decisions about what lots are being picked at what time, because there is so many varietals in so many areas. It is probably one of the most complex part is just keeping track of all the vineyards as they're coming in during harvest.
Obviously, the expert wine drinkers know what a great value your single vineyards are in Eroica. If you have any advice to give brand new wine drinkers, people who are just getting into the field of wine, what advice do you have for them?
The advice is to trust your heart and your palate, and the advice is to not always trust third-party scores and what everybody tells you you're supposed to like and drink with a certain food, because the last thing I want people to be is intimidated by wine. Wine should be fun. Wine should be friendly with food and with your friends. So start sipping different wines and see what you're kind of leaning toward. And it doesn't mean your taste won't change in the future. So you might start with a nice dry fresh rosé or our Columbia Valley Riesling or even a Merlot. I don't know where people's entry point is, but the key point is to drink what you like. Don't drink what someone says you're supposed to like.
Bob, you have an open invitation anytime you ever want to come to the show. That is exactly what we've been preaching to everybody, and it's refreshing to hear somebody, especially for our listeners besides me, telling them that.
Good. I'm glad we're on the same page, because it's the number one message I think we can give everybody.
Oh, hallelujah. Definitely. Well, on that note, if you would, will you let our listeners know your website one more time so they can look up all your exceptional wines?
You bet. Please come to our website. It's a really wonderful site where you can look at the wines. We have an amazing concert series during the summer. You can kind of see who's playing out here right now. It's www.ste-michelle.com.
Perfect. Well, Bob, thank you very, very much for being part of the Wine Crush. It's always great, number one, to get someone as energetic as you. And, of course, someone who agrees with me is always a plus.
and I even enjoyed listening to you, Bob, agreeing with Laura.
But, I'd love to have you guys back out here. And whenever you're in Seattle again, please don't hesitate to come back out to the Chateau. Or actually, better, come out here to Canoe Ridge. Come out to the east side of the state and get a feel for the vineyards. And then you really understand what Washington winemaking is about.
It's absolutely gorgeous out there, and I would love to come back. I'm going to consider myself now unbanned from that part of the state. Well, Bob, thank you very much for being part of the Crush.
You're welcome.
It's great hearing Bob explain both to me and you and the listeners.
Right.
What is Chateau St. Michelle? Because a lot of times you and I have recommended Chateau St. Michelle, Columbia Crest wines. But something, just an aside on our travel destination show, for those of you who live in the Northwest, Chateau St. Michelle is probably the closest winery I have seen to a major metropolitan city.
Yeah.
For those of you living in Seattle, you can be in St. Michelle in 15 minutes. And it's a lovely day trip. It is great to go out. You can see the water on the way up there, and the property is just gorgeous. So for those of you who get sick and tired of the rain and have had your fill of Starbucks, wander over to Chateau St. Michelle, and they'll treat you like royalty.
Absolutely. You know, Laura, I consider it to be one of the very best wineries in the country, both for quality and for value. It's just hard to beat it.
It really is. They do exceptional things. So we need to get back to you. We need to get back to your calls, your emails, and see what you are saying today on The Crush. For those of you who have not done so, you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1.
And you can email us info at winecrush.com.
We have an email from Bob. Bob wants to know, does wine help digestion? Well, Michael, since you commented on an Epicure, what is your answer to that question?
I would say maybe not. Sometimes it aids indigestion. Sometimes. It just depends on how long you've been at it. And I would say a little bit of wine does aid digestion, but if you overindulge, it does just the exact opposite. Have you any experience in that?
Two things. One, I know something factually. The reason you talk a lot about wine and food pairings, think about a ribeye or think about a strip that has a lot of connective tissue. I know that the acids in red wine will help break down some of that connective tissue, which goes hand in hand with the flavors. That's the boring, boring answer. This was kind of cute. My ex-husband was convinced that red wine aided digestion because it helped push the food down into his stomach. So, no, that has been my expertise with digestion, and I just assume stay away from it.
Okay.
All right. So far in the Crush, we have had a lot of fun, and we have been enlightened. It's always fun. We have a guest of Bob Bertal's caliber call into the show. So it was nice talking to him. And, of course, we're still talking about our wine destination.
That's right. We've got one more to go.
One more to go, but you're going to have to stay with us so you can hear all about that.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Mark, have you noticed any of the Spectracide green ninjas around the track?
Green ninjas, Doug?
Yeah, I'm serious. I haven't noticed any weeds or nasty crabgrass. They must have used Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer.
You know, I haven't seen any crabgrass.
Using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to take out the weeds without harming your lawn. You see results in as fast as 8 hours.
Hand me a bottle of Spectracide Weed Stop Plus Crabgrass Killer. I'll get those ninjas in my yard.
Weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not gonna ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use. Once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, 1 out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And while we usually have fun glorifying the grape, we are glorifying locations today.
Right.
Michael and I have covered our favorite places to go, or at least some of our favorite places to go, and enjoy the grape and its glory. And we are finally to our final wine recommendation for the day. Now, notice I said for the day. We'll get to more on that in a second. Michael, what's another favorite wine destination for you?
I don't think there would ever be any list of wine destinations that has to include Napa Valley. There's no question about it.
It has to be there.
It is the quintessential expression of American wine. You can ride up and down that street, that highway. You can go to so many different incredibly good wineries. Several years ago, I went and visited Spring Mountain, Pride, Camus, Dariush, Schaefer, all in one day.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, yeah. That evening was short.
You know, I've gone to Carneros with Domaine Carneros, and I've talked about the New Orleans Food and Wine Festival. But I do occasionally venture outside of this country. Get on a plane, fly to Venice, spend a night in Venice, and then drive up into Tuscany. And when you're up in Tuscany, you can go to Montalcino, you can go to Montepulciano, and it will take your breath away. Not even just the wines, the countryside and seeing castles and realizing this is not your neighbor's McMansion. This is a castle from 900 AD. And you actually get to define a moat and see what's in a moat. Just the tourist, simple, jaw-dropping, I'm going to go be a just flagrant American overseas is worth seeing Tuscany. And then you get to find out about the glass and what's in the wines and just taste everything. And it's one of those experiences that you have aha moments.
Yeah.
One thing that's very, very easy to find is the town of Montalcino.
Right.
And that is where you will find Castella Bonfi. And I would definitely make the effort and time to stop by there, get a glass of their Brunello. There's something about sitting in the castle, seeing the sunset, and being with all that beautiful, verdant, green countryside around you. It's one of the most magical moments I know I've ever had in the business. And I encourage our listeners, if you're going overseas, give it a shot yourself.
Yep.
All right, we've shared with you three great wine destinations that are just waiting to wow you. But guess what? They aren't even our top three. I told you we had a surprise for you. Next week, our countdown continues, leading to our number one wine destination. What will we pick? It might be just around the corner from you. And speaking of you, we have time for one or two more final questions from the Wine Crush Nation.
Hi, this is Gina calling from Hastings, Nebraska. And what is the difference between a Pinot Gris and a Pinot Grigio? I've had a bottle of Pinot Grigio. It was really sweet, really gross. I like a nice dry wine. I think I would like a Pinot Gris. Thank you.
For the most part, Pinot Grigios are going to be kind of like a Sauvignon Blanc, but a little bit softer. Pinot Gris are going to have more minerality in them, I think. Laura, what do you think about that?
I think it's always fun for novice wine drinkers to look at a Pinot Gris and a Pinot Grigio and say, oh, I hate one or the other.
Yeah.
And it's real easy to do. But truthfully, they are the same grape. Pinot Grigio is typically your Italian style, light, crisp, just really cold, easy to drink. We call them deck wines. All of a sudden, you've had two glasses and you're on the deck. Pinot Gris has a mineral quality to it. It has an oily quality to it.
It does, for sure.
People who like a little bit of European wines but still want some fruit for a change,
yeah.
I recommend trying Pinot Gris. I actually think Bob Bertel's Pinot Gris is exceptional from Chateau St.
Michel.
There's
no doubt about it.
That is absolutely all the seconds we have for today's Invigorating Wine Crush. So, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And in vino veritas, in wine there is truth.